हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर थारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर थारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीर वनचारी जमुना तीरावनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे संकीर्तन की ग्रंथ श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवदिनैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपगुमाराय గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, chapter is entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Homes, text number 42. Yatha gavo nasi protas, tantyam baddhascha damabhihi, vaktantyam namabhir baddha, vahanti balimishitu. యథా గావో నసీ ప్రోతాస్ తంత్యాం బద్ధాశ్చ దామభిః వాక్తంత్యాం నామభిర్ బద్ధా వహంతి బలిమీషితుః. యథా గావో నసీ ప్రోతాస్ తంత్యాం బద్ధాశ్చ దామభిః వాకతంత్యాం నామభిర్బద్ధా వహంతి బలిమీషితుః. Matajis. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As a cow bound through the nose by a long rope is conditioned, so also human beings are bound by different Vedic injunctions and are conditioned to obey the orders of the Supreme. Purport. Every living being, whether a man or an animal or a bird, thinks that he is free by himself. But actually no one is free from the severe laws of the Lord. The laws of the Lord are severe because they cannot be disobeyed in any circumstances. The man-made laws may be evaded by cunning outlaws. But in the codes of the Supreme Lawmaker, there is not the slightest possibility of neglecting the laws. A slight change in the course of God-made laws can bring about a massive danger to be faced by the lawbreaker. Such laws of the Supreme are generally known as the codes of religion under different conditions. But the principle of religion everywhere is one and the same. Namely, obey the orders of the Supreme God, the codes of religion. That is the condition of the material existence. All living beings in the material world have taken up the risk of conditioned life by their own selection and are thus entrapped by the laws of material nature. The only way to get out of the entanglement is to agree to obey the Supreme. But instead of becoming free from the clutches of Maya or illusion, foolish human beings become bound up by different nomenclatures, being designated as Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Hindus, Mohammedans, Indians, Europeans, Americans, Chinese, and many others. And thus, they carry out the orders of the Supreme Lord under the influence of respective scriptural or legislative injunctions. The statutory laws of the state are imperfect imitation, replicas of the religious codes. The secular state or the godless state allows the citizens to break the laws of God, but restricts them from disobeying the laws of the state. Thus, the result is that the people in general suffer more by breaking the laws of God than by obeying the imperfect laws made by men. Every man is imperfect by constitution. Under
conditions of material existence, and there is not a least possibility that even the most materially advanced men can enact perfect legislation. On the other hand, there is no such imperfection in the laws of God. If leaders are educated in the laws of God, there is no necessity of a makeshift legislative council of aimless men. There is necessity of change in the makeshift laws of men. But there is no change in the God-made laws, because they are made perfect by the all-perfect personality of Godhead. The codes of religion, scriptural injunctions are made by liberated representatives of God in consideration of different conditions of living. And by carrying out the orders of the Lord, the conditioned living beings gradually become free from the clutches of material existence. The factual position of this living being is, however, that he is eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord. In his liberated state, he renders service to the Lord in transcendental love, and thus enjoys a life of full freedom, even sometimes on an equal level with the Lord, or sometimes more than the Lord. But in the conditioned material world, every living being wants to be the Lord of other living beings, and thus by the illusion of Maya, this mentality of lording it over becomes the cause of further extension of conditional life. So, in the material world, the living being is still more conditioned until he surrenders unto the Lord by reviving his original state of eternal servitorship. That is the last instruction of the Bhagavad Gita and all other recognized scriptures of the world. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadameyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Damsajivam Sadvaitam Zavadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Saptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanja Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam garoti vachalam bhangum langayate girim yat kripadamaham vande shri gurum dinatharinam shri chaitanyam ishwaram paramananda madhavam. Translation once again. As a cow bound through the nose by a long rope is conditioned, so also human beings are bound by different Vedic injunctions and are conditioned to obey the orders of the Supreme. Seek the blessings of all the devotees and speak something worthwhile on this very, very important topic that's being discussed here in Srimad Bhagavatam. When a child is sick, mother wants to administer a medicine to that child. But as soon as the child hears about a medicine, child runs away. Child probably tries to escape and or probably cries, cribs, not to have that medicine, because to have medicine is the last thing on the list of the child's mind. Although mother knows that medicine is good for the child, but child, out of foolishness and ignorance, wants to avoid taking that medicine. But mother also knows the way to administer the medicine. So mother calls the child and tells a very nice, sweet story to the child. And while mother is sharing the story to the child, mother gently administers the medicine into the mouth of the child, and child lovingly, happily, eats that medicine, not knowing that mother has actually administered the medicine. Many times the medicine is also sugar-coated, as a result of which child doesn't even recognize that mother has so lovingly administered the medicine. Similarly, we actually are like that child who are in the disease state, and when we are being asked to take the medicine of spirituality, we want to run away, we want to escape. We generally do not want to accept it. On the contrary, we don't want to accept it. At the same time, we want to run away, because to take up to spirituality is the last thing on the list of any conditioned living entity. We don't want to take up to spirituality so easily. But scriptures are like mothers. Scriptures, they know how to administer the medicine even without the child or the conditioned living entity even coming to know. So scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam comes up with the wonderful stories. Now, what is storytelling? Storytelling is nothing but sharing the wisdom. It's an art, actually. Storytelling is an art where you share a wisdom by sharing the jaw-dropping tales. So when the jaw drops, mouth opens. And when mouth opens, these wisdom pills are popped into the mouth of the conditioned living entity. And even without our notice, we actually are administered that medicine, and that medicine ultimately creates that transforming effect. So here we see Srimad Bhagavatam coming up with this story of Dhritarashtra quitting home, and Srimad Bhagavatam is gently administering the medicine in the form of these philosophical insights spoken by Narad Muni to Yudhishthir Maharaj, and thereby creating transformation in our life. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a blend of nectarian pastimes of the Lord, at the same time deep philosophical insights. So Bhagavatam is a blend of pastimes and these philosophical truths. And only hearing the pastimes of the Lord in and of itself is purifying, no doubt. But these philosophical truths, when heard, helps us to maintain that purity. So we experience the purifying effect, but for a very short time. But when we also hear these philosophical insights, these truths help us maintain that purity in our life. Or many a times, if we simply hear the pastimes of the Lord, that may make us sentimental. That may lead to sentimentalism. So we also need these philosophical truths, which will keep us grounded. Or if we only hear the philosophical truths, that may lead to dry speculation, or that may make us fanatics. So we need Srimad Bhagavatam in our life. We need Lord Krishna's pastimes for our heart. And we also need philosophical insights from Srimad Bhagavatam for our head, for the nourishment of our head. So, Srimad Bhagavatam balances the rational and the emotional faculties and tries to nourish both these faculties so that we don't go to either of the extremes. And Narad Muni here is giving this example of a cow or a bull being pulled by the rope, and how this cow or a bull is fully under the control of the master. So that's the case with all of us. Scriptures are just like mirrors. When we look into the mirror, mirror exposes us. Mirror shows us our real face. Similarly, scriptures are like those mirrors which actually reveals our true identity, tells us where we actually stand. Or scriptures will show certain characters, but through those characters will reveal actually our position. And scriptures will reflect our own lives without even we getting to know that, actually it's me whom Narad Muni is actually talking about. So these philosophical instructions, when imparted by the right person at the right time, with the right mood, to the right person who is receptive to receive that knowledge, then that philosophical instruction will truly act as a soothing balm and will act as a medicine which will eliminate the pain and distress of bewilderment, confusion, moroseness, lamentation and grief. And a person can actually experience the uplifting effect and can face the severe pressures, panicking situations and problems of life. And we can see in various cantos, when these philosophical insights were narrated by different personalities, how these philosophical insights eventually helped eliminate these types of negativities or those emotional turbulence. So here we see Narad Muni is going to relieve, Narad Muni is going to eliminate the lamentation and of Yudhishthir Maharaj. When Bhishma Dev spoke from the scriptures, Bhishma Dev eliminated the lamentation of the Pandavas. Lord Krishna, when he spoke Bhagavad Gita, the true wisdom eliminated the confusion of Arjuna. Not only that, Narad Muni dissipated the dissatisfaction of Vyasdev. And Narad Muni in the first canto speaks on these philosophical insights. Narad Muni, along with Angira Muni, he removed the lamentation of Chitraketu Maharaj. Chitraketu Maharaj was experiencing such deep remorse when his son died. He could not even walk. He could not even speak. What to speak of ruling the kingdom? At that given point of time, when Narad Muni and Angira Muni arrived, and when they spoke such deep philosophical insights, it turned the life of Chitraketu Maharaj. When Chitraketu Maharaj, from lamentation, he became joyful and blissful. He became enthusiastic. Not only that, we see Vidura here, eliminating the attachment of Dhritarashtra, with the help of these philosophical insights. The principles that are spoken are more or less same, but as per the time, place and circumstances, as per the person to whom they are addressing, yes, the details may vary. And ultimately, Shukdev Goswami eliminated that fear of death from the heart of Parikshit Maharaj by speaking the nectarine pastimes of Lord Shri Krishna along with these philosophical insights. Therefore, it is needed, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. We need to hear these philosophical insights. We need to hear Srimad Bhagavatam on the daily basis. As Lord Krishna also tells in Bhagavad Gita, Nahi Jnanena Sadrusham Pavitram Iha vidyate tat swayam yoga samsiddhi kale natmani vindati. There is nothing more impactful, there is nothing more life transforming and purifying than this type of philosophical, spiritual insights and knowledge. Therefore, it is very, very important to stay connected to Srimad Bhagavatam on a daily basis, on a regular basis, so as to remain sane, sober, steady and sturdy in the midst of this chaotic world, especially in the midst of our chaotic mind. So we all cannot deny this fact that we all go through these types of negative emotions in our life, in some phase of our life, and taking shelter of these types of philosophical truths help us recover and get over from these setbacks faster. Radhanath Maharaj was once upon a time telling that there is no greater pacification of heart than by hearing the truth and the words of God. And that's the hallmark of a devotee. A hallmark of a devotee is not that a devotee does not undergo such emotional turbulences ever. No. What defines us as a devotee is not how we fall, but how we rise. And devotee may even accidentally fall down, but devotee will never fall away from Krishna and the process of Krishna consciousness. That's the hallmark of a devotee. Succumbing to this negative emotional turbulences is not a failure, but staying stuck there and not trying to rise above those emotional turbulences is a failure. So a devotee may undergo these emotional upheavals, as we see here in the case of Yudhishthira Maharaj. He is lamenting. He is experiencing those emotional upheavals. But what do they do when they come across, or when they get caught up in those emotional turbulences? Whom do they take shelter of? And how seamlessly, effortlessly, quickly and swiftly they switch over from material to spiritual shelter. That is truly a hallmark of a devotee. And the bigger problem with us is we get so much caught up in trying to solve those external problems that we fail to realize that the bigger problem lies within us in the form of our problematic mind. And unless we address the root cause of all the problem, which is the problematic mind, everything around us will appear to be problematic only. Because most of the problems does not lie beyond our mind. It's more in the mind than in actual. So when our mind comes in contact with such deep philosophical insights, now our mind truly finds an anchor to hold on to, where a mind truly experiences no pacification and solace. And many a times when we try to solve problem with this problematic mind, no, the solution that we come up with gives rise to a bigger problem. So no, many times people, especially the youth, no, they think that the solution to all problem is, let me end my life. So that solution has come up from the mind, which is problematic, which cannot truly come up with the right solution. So our rational faculties many times are so faulty that the solutions also that comes out from those, you know, faculties turns out to be very faulty and probably it boomerangs on us. So it is more important to solve the number one problem, that is our problematic mind, than trying to, you know, search out for the solutions or a quick fix solutions for the things of this world. And that's what Bhagavatam actually does. Bhagavatam addresses the root cause, mana eva paramam karanam, as the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam states. So solutions to the problems in this world gives rise to a bigger problem. There was one couple, you know, who got into a long standing fight. So they decided to get divorced. They went to the court. The judge asked a question. Judge said, "You have 3 children. Now tell me, how are you going to divide these 3 children amongst you?" So they had a long discussion. They started thinking aloud. And then they told the judge, "Okay, we will come next year with 1 more. That means we will have 4. So when we come up with 4, then probably, you know, we can divide that." Now story doesn't end there. After 9 months, they got twins. That means instead of getting the 4th one, they got 5. So now story doesn't end there. Now they were in a fix. What do we do? We want divorce. But then, no, we have to divide equally. But now we have 5. So then they decided to abort the child. I heard this story somewhere. I hope this story is not true. So they decided to abort both the childs. And in the course of aborting both the childs, mother ended up with complication and mother left her body. So this is typical scenario, just one example of the many, where we try to find out some quick fix solutions and those solutions eventually give rise to a bigger problem. So these philosophical insights actually purifies our mind and gives the clarity of vision. What should we be doing when we come across these types of negative turbulences in our lives? Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhaktir yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam. What is that? Mukta sangasya jayate. Vidyate hridaya granthi siddhyante sarva samshayah kshiyante chasya karmani mukta vrista evatmanishvare. So one of the very important philosophical truths that's being discussed today here in this verse is how Narad Muni is telling that we are all in a strong grip. We are fully controlled. No one is independent, even if we think that we are, but we are not. And we are so brilliantly controlled by these subtle laws, that we are controlled, but we still don't realize this fact that we are controlled. There was one student. Teacher asked a student, "Can you tell me Newton's second law?" Student is telling teacher, "Teacher, don't you know I am a student of science and not a law student?" Teacher said, "I know that you don't know anything. You simply think that you know, but you don't know anything." So many a times, no, we may be thinking that we know something, but actually we don't know much of the many things. And similarly, here Narad Muni is saying that you may be thinking that you are free, but we are not free. Just because I think a lot doesn't make me a deep thinker. There are people in this world who think a lot, but that doesn't make them, you know, great thinkers. Similarly, we may be thinking that I am independent, but that doesn't truly make me independent, because we are not free from the implications of the laws that we are bound to. And Prabhupada said, we may have independence, but that independence is very minimal. Prabhupada said, little control means no control. Little independence means no independent. And we may even want to break the laws in order to enjoy, but still we cannot, because Narad Muni is telling here that a cow which is tied to a pole by a rope, that rope may have a radius of 5 meters. So that cow can only, within the diameter of 10 meters, can either sit, walk, jump, run, but cannot fly. So, a cow has that independence, but to a certain degree. Similarly, we all have independence to a certain degree, beyond which even we cannot impose, or we cannot try to even, you know, evade. And even if we try to break the laws, say for example, if a cow tries to run away, a cow tries to break the rope and tries to run away into the market, eventually that cow will be caught by someone, that cow will be caught and will be sent either to slaughterhouse, or that cow will again be brought by some other farmer, and that cow will again be tied. Now maybe a 20 meter rope. But then, no, that independence is limited. And this is what Srimad Bhagavatam is telling here. So even if we try to manage to break the laws of state, the laws of God, that's what Prabhupada is writing here in the purport, we cannot evade the implications of those laws. And above that, scripture explains that there are so many laws or so many ropes by which we are bound. There are unseen, invisible rope that we are bound and tied to. And these ropes are called pash. In Bhagavatam itself, there are 6 types of ropes which are explained. 6 types of pash that Bhagavatam explains. Pash is nothing but shackles or rope or something that ties up. The first pash that Bhagavatam speaks is Pashu Pash. Madhrik prapanna Pashu Pasha vimokshanaya muktaya bhuri karunaya namo alayaya. When Gajendra is offering prayers to Lord Vishnu, Gajendra is telling, my dear Lord, I am right now caught up in the jaws of this crocodile, but that's not the only jaw that I am caught up in. I am caught up in this body of an elephant. That means a soul is entrapped. The soul is shackled within this body, which itself acts as a rope and does not allow us to go beyond certain jurisdiction. So Gajendra is saying, my dear Lord, the soul is entrapped within this body, and this body itself is a pash. So my dear Lord, I am trapped, but you are muktaya, you are liberated, so you can liberate me. But let me request you, my Lord, don't just liberate me from the jaws of this crocodile. Don't just cut off the head of this crocodile, but please cut off this ties. The biggest tie is the tie in the form of this body. Please liberate me from this body itself. So he's asking for a bigger type of liberation and not just liberation from the jaws of crocodile. So Prabhupada would give this example that a person, when we are within this body, when a person sees some wonderful preparations, you know, some food preparation, that person feels like enjoying unlimitedly. We feel like enjoying, probably swallowing like a glutton, then eat as much as we can. But then Prabhupada would say, moment we exceed, moment we cross the limit, probably our stomach doesn't really support. And we tried enjoying unlimitedly, but we end up fasting for next 3 days. So we cannot go beyond the limitations that a body has put us on us. So we are not free to do anything and everything, although we may think that I am free. Or I may love to sleep in the daytime. But then, according to the medical science, excessive sleep eventually gives rise to many ailments. So we cannot evade the implications which eventually comes upon us in due course of time. So right now in our youth, we may think that I can do whatever I want to do. But somewhere down the line, we may have to pay the price. Or people, when they are in this body, they want to enjoy this body by having an unlimited mating. But then, how long and how much can this body give us? We may try to squeeze out the enjoyment from this body, but ultimately the body has limitation. What happens is the hunger grows more and more, but at the same time, dissatisfaction level also grows more and more. As a result, a person eventually experiences a lot of agitation, frustration, and apathy towards spirituality. That's one of the greatest disadvantage of enjoying unrestrictedly in this material world. More we try to enjoy our senses, more a person develops apathy towards spiritual subject matters. So this is the first pash, pashupash. So body in and of itself is a rope which ties up the soul. Now within this body, scripture explains there are many other pash. The second pash is what Bhagavad Gita says, speaks about asha pash. We are all tied up. Our desires bind us so strongly. Asha pasha shater baddha kama krodha parayana ihante kama bhogartham anyayana artha sanchayan. So Krishna is telling that the person, everyone is bound by not just one, but shater baddha. Now we are all bound by hundreds and probably thousands of these desires. And these desires, they keep us hostage. And what is the result? Kama krodha parayana. Instead of become Rama parayana, we become Kama parayana. And just as Ram is followed by Ramanuja, Lakshmana, instead of being followed by, instead of following the instructions of the spiritual master who is like Lakshman, what follows is Kamanuja, that is anger. That's what Krishna is telling here. Kama krodha parayana. So this is the irony of life. Asha nama manushyanam kaschit asharya shrinklavat yatha baddha pradhavanti mukta tishtanti panguvat. A person who is tied by a rope should be sitting at one place because a rope will immobilize that person. But just see the irony, when a person is tied by the ropes of desire, that person is running here and there, everywhere. On the contrary, mukta tishtanti panguvat, someone who is free from the desires, from material desires, someone who is not shackled by the ropes, that person can easily move. But a person who is actually free from material desire, that person is just sitting at one place and chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So the material desires that binds us, they doesn't act like a prisoner's shackles. Because prisoner who is shackled by those strong janjeer, no, cannot move. So material desire that binds us does not act like a prisoner's shackles, but it acts like the puppeteer's string. So material desire, no, they act like this puppeteer's string which makes us dance at its tunes. And just as we cannot see the strings, we cannot even realize this fact that these material desires are making me more and more restless day by day. And person is so much bound that it becomes very, very difficult. So many people, they enter this hell of alcoholic addiction. And they imagine, initially at least, that they are entering in an arena of freedom. But, no, and because they think that I am free, and especially I am, by drinking this alcohol, I am breaking free of those age-old tradition that we should not be drinking. So that person thinks that I am trying to escape, and I want to actually show to the world that, no, I have broken these Vedic laws, injunctions. But then what happens? What begins with an exploration ends up with an addiction, where a person or that urge for drinking becomes so unresistible or irresistible that drinking alcohol becomes a quick fix and an easy escape way when a person, you know, can't cope up with the material stress. And eventually the person is so bound that can't give up. So we may be thinking, oh, Netflix cost only 499 rupees. It just doesn't cost 499 rupees. It cost our time. We think that a Diet Coke cost only 30 rupees or 40 rupees. But it cost us our health. Or we may be thinking that social media is free, but it costs us our focus. So this is the law. When something is available free, then you and me are the product. Where, you know, the media, everyone buys us, can easily trap us. So Scripture explains that there are these five parameters. When a person is bound by a physical rope, that physical rope is not as severe as a person who is bound mentally by those subtle ropes. So the first parameter is that this rope is invisible. This subtle rope which binds us, ashapash, is invisible. We cannot see. No, at least when a person sees that someone is trying to bind him or her physically, that person will try to run away, will try to save himself. But we don't even realize when these ropes bind us. That's the first, invisible. The second is this rope, subtle ropes are infectious. Now, when we come in contact with someone who is bound by a physical rope, we will not get bound by those physical rope ourselves. But in case of these subtle ropes, when we come in contact with people who are bound by these strong ropes of attachment, we also can get bound. We also can get influenced. And we see in Scripture an example of Ajamil. Ajamil just came in contact with a person who was, you know, attached mentally. And eventually Ajamil also got bound. So that's the second parameter. These ropes are not only invisible, but they are infectious. Just like a pathogen, infection, if it is contagious, can spread to people around. The third, these subtle ropes are not only infectious, but they are insidious. Insidious means they are very, very harmful. Now, when a person is bound to a physical rope doesn't have a self-strengthening mechanism this rope gets tighter and tighter day by day. No. But with these ropes that a person is bound to, shackled by, these ropes becomes more and more tighter day by day, and it becomes thickened, and it becomes more and more difficult to get out of these ropes. So these subtle ropes that we are bound to, they are not only invisible, they are not only infectious, insidious, but they are also inexhaustible, never ending. No matter how much you try to cut those ropes apart, these ropes again come up. Just like Lord Ram tried cutting off the head of Ravana, every time he tried cutting off, a new head would come up. So these material desires, these subtle ropes that bind us, they actually are so strong and they are inexhaustible, never ending. Mother Yashoda is trying to bind Krishna with the help of inexhaustible ropes. There were unlimited ropes, but these unlimited ropes could not bind Krishna. But these ropes that which are inexhaustible, that bind us so much that we become exhaustible by telling no, 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 I don't want, I don't. When we try to say no to these ropes, still these ropes, they actually become inexhaustible. And finally, this rope is actually interchangeable also. Now, when a person is bound to a physical rope, that person himself cannot change, move on from one rope to another, cannot change that rope. But we have an option. Although we are tied to these subtle ropes, we can still change the rope. We can change our attachments. We can change our attachment from I to Krishna. And when we try to change our attachment or transfer our attachment, that's the time we can truly get freed from these rope. So this is the second rope, Asha Pasha. The third is Guna Pasha. Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita, Sattvam Rajasama Iti Guna Prakriti Sambhava Nibadnanti. Nibadnanti Mahabaho. These ropes, these three modes of material nature, Sattva Rajasama, they also bind us. So we are bound by our behavioral patterns. So our behavioral patterns, our actions, our thought are also very much influenced by the three modes, which holds us so strong. The fourth is Sneha Pash. This is what Kunti Maharani is telling in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Atha Vishvesha Vishvatma Vishwamurte Swakeshu Me Sneha Pasha Imam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. We all are tied. These emotional ties are far more stronger than the physical ties. Externally, the sense objects may not be present, but internally, it's always there because we have developed that connection. We have developed that attachment to, our emotions are very strongly identifying with the sense objects. So, person is physically present, doing something physically but mentally stuck and emotionally lost. There was one boy who told his girlfriend, chalte chalte ruk jata hu main, sote sote ud jata hu main, khate khate ruk jata hu main, sochte sochte kho jata hu main, kya yahi pyar hai? This girl heard what this boy is telling. This girl said, "Arey vedya, ha fakta ek ashaktapanacha lakshan ahet." A boy thinks that, oh, he's in love. But he's so stuck. Doesn't realize. So, the emotional faculty many times, just eats up our rational faculty so much. Especially with the sneha pash, that person loses the sense of discrimination and actually experience weakness of heart. So that's the power of sneha pash. Someone asked a person, "Why are you crying? Who hurt you?" This person said, "No one." "Then why are you crying?" He said, "It's only my expectation and emotional attachment which is hurting me. Nothing else." So, as they say, you may take me out of India, but you cannot take India out of me. That's what is emotional attachment. A person identifies himself or herself with so much with the country or with the people around that, that we may try to take sense objects out of our vision or out of our mind, but we can't take our mind out of those sense objects. So this is the fourth type of attachment, that is sneha pash. The fifth is bhava pash. As Krishna tells in the 15th chapter, na rupam asye tatopalabhyate nanto nachardi naja sampradishta ashvattamenam saviruda moolam asanga shastrena dhridena chitva. It is not easy to really escape this bhava pash or the bondage. It is not easy to terminate the cycle of birth and death so easily. But Krishna is saying, asanga shatrena dhridena chitva. We have to use that X of detachment with determination to cut off. And the sixth pash is yamapash. As Bilwa Mangal Thakur says in his bhajan, chinatsi ghoram yamapasha bandham, bhinatsi bhinnam bhavapasha bandham, chinatsi sarvasya samasya bandham, naivatmano bhakta kritam tu bandham. My dear Lord, please cut this terrible noose of Yamaraj, which no one can so easily escape. Please cut off the dreadful noose of this bhavapash. My dear Lord, it is only you who can slash everyone's samasta sarvasya chinatsi bandham. It is only you who can actually cut off this strong noose, strong bandhan. But my dear Lord, you cannot cut one bandhan. Naivatmano bhakta kritam tu bandham. You are unable to cut the knots that are tied by the loving devotion of your devotees. So yes, we are all intertwined with so many of these invisible ropes that keeps us bound into this material world. And not only that, Bhagavatam says that these knots are actually ajara. Jara means old. Jara means old age. Ajara means that which remains young. Prasangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayo vidu sa eva sadhu shukrito moksha dwara apavratan. So it is difficult to cut off, sever, or probably escape these knots, these noose. But prasangam ajaram pasham, these knots which are actually ajar, these bondage which are actually ajar, ajar means ever new or ever fresh, they can be cut only by one thing. By transferring our attachment from material to spiritual, from transferring our attachment to, you know, the saintly personalities. And here we see Yudhishthir Maharaj taking shelter of Narad Muni, who is going to help him, you know, cut off those strong negative turbulences in the form of these, in the form of lamentation. So yes, I may try to break state law, but I cannot break nation's law. And even if I try to break nation's law, I cannot break other countries' law. So somewhere or other, you know, we have to follow and abide the laws. And this is what, you know, scripture says. There are four categories actually of people. You know, the first category, the four categories of people who follow God's law and government's law. The first category are the people who do not follow any of the laws. They don't want to follow government laws. They don't want to follow God's law. So they are outright rebellious, or probably atheistic mentality type of people, you know, who doesn't want anyone above them. They think that I have to be disciplined, I have to be obedient, I don't want anyone above me, so let me not follow any of the laws. Ravana was one such example who wanted to create a staircase to heaven by breaking all the laws. Hiranyakashipu was the one who wanted to reverse the laws, where if you do something pious, then you will go to hell. But if you do something impious or sinful, you will go to heaven. So they tried reversing the laws because it was created, these laws are Bhagavat Pranitam, these laws are created by Vishnu, that's why furthermore I don't want to follow. So that's the tendency where a person doesn't want to follow either God's laws or government laws. As they say, there's a famous Hindi dialogue. No, they say that hum jahan pe khade hote hai, wahi se line shuru hoti hai. I will not follow any laws, but I will make others follow what I want to, or what I want them to follow. And these people, they end up becoming greatest criminals. And they perform major crimes and they are not afraid of government laws. So this is what is the first category. Second category are the people, you know, who may follow, you know, government laws, but they don't follow God's laws. So these people could be very cultured, very refined people in the society, but they are completely unaware of God's laws, which are mentioned in the scriptures. And these people are like those people who may be following local laws, but they have no, or they may not be following the nation's laws or global laws. Say for example, people come together in a club and they decide that from today onwards, you and me can murder anyone. And no one will take a notice of this. Now, is that possible? If I try to murder someone and I may try to evade, I may try to make certain law, but I cannot escape the implication of the nation's laws. So there are people who come in this world and they create a law where abortion is allowed. So just because I'm following a local law, that doesn't mean that I can get away from the nation's law. That doesn't mean that there will not be any implication from the nation's law. Similarly, if I make a certain law which is not in sync with the nation's law, then probably I cannot escape. Similarly, if I make a law which is not in sync with the God's law or the laws of the scriptures, I will still have to bear the consequences. So there are people who come together and release the law that, cow killing is allowed. or they may open slaughterhouses. But that does not give them the license, or that does not free them from getting the severe repercussions or reaction from the laws of nature. So yes, government laws are like those local laws, and God's laws are like those global laws. And we cannot, or a local law cannot supersede the global law. Similarly, you know, we cannot supersede God's law. The third category are the people who follows God's laws, but they do not want to follow government laws. And this is especially important for devotees to take note of. Just because we are devotees doesn't give us the license to break government laws. Just because I am following God laws doesn't mean that I have a liberty, you know, to break any laws. One time, Srila Prabhupada was arriving at the airport, and devotees were to go and, you know, pick up Prabhupada from the airport. And as usual, devotees got late. When devotees got late, they were trying to, you know, speed up the car, and in the course of speeding up the car, they broke the law. And when they broke the signal, the police caught. When police caught them, you know, they somehow tried telling the police that, oh, our spiritual master is coming and we are late, and you know, we cannot make him wait. So finally, the police thought that, yes, you know, they are spiritual minded people, so police allowed them to go. And when they met Prabhupada, they garlanded Prabhupada, they got Prabhupada to the temple, and these devotees were so happy that they wanted to share this. That police, you know, was very happy to know that you are coming, Swamiji, and we broke that law. So they thought that Prabhupada will be happy hearing this. But when Prabhupada heard this, Prabhupada said one thing: don't take advantage. Just because you are devotees doesn't mean that you can break any of the laws. Just because we are devotees doesn't mean that we can tell anything to anyone. And that can put off many people in this world. Just because I am at, no, people say, Sab Bhumi Gopal ki Jai Kanaya Lal ki. And because I also am a devotee, so I can behave the way I want to. I can talk, or I can deal with people around. No, nothing will probably, no one can say anything to me. But no, this is something which we also have to be very, very careful. We also have to abide by the government laws. And we have this famous example from Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Antya Leela. No, when one of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was being arrested and was being severely punished, just because he had not paid the dues to the government. I think it was Gopinath Patnaik in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, hey, no, why you are coming to me? No, he is not paid, no, the basic dues to the government. Actually, he is at fault. But then devotees finally requested, please pray for him. It's only by your mercy that, no, he can be released. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you please pray to Lord Jagannath. Jagannath will do the needful. So yes, these are the third category, when someone follows God's laws but, you know, does not want to follow government laws. And the fourth category is the category where, you know, a person follows God's laws as well as government laws. And this is what is expected, you know, from every one of us if we want to be a good citizen and a good devotee as well. So finally, yes, I have gone too much overboard. Just to end, Narad Muni is here telling us that ultimately, whoever a person is bound by the ropes. We all have to follow certain laws, codes of conduct. So when a cow happily gets bound, then cow gets its daily necessities by the master. Cow doesn't have to go here and there to search. Similarly, we as disciples, if we lovingly get bound by the instructions of spiritual master, then it is Krishna who will actually take care. No? And we can see when Arjuna was willing to follow his Kshatriya duty and was also willing to follow Krishna's orders, then Krishna went out of his way. And Krishna is willing to break the law, and Krishna is actually willing to go out of his way to serve and help and support his devotee. So this is one prayer that we should offer. My dear Lord, let me be bound by the spiritual instructions that my spiritual master has given me. Because if I go away from this spiritual instruction, then practically I'm inviting disaster in my own spiritual life. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Samaveda Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai. Nithai Gaur Premanandi ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama.